Meanwhile, in Brazil,
there's a sense that foreign media is much more hysterical than we are. Here in Brazil, there's not much panic.
Patricia Campos Melo is an editor-at-large and columnist at Folha, the largest daily newspaper in Brazil. She says that the Brazilian press and government were slow to catch on to the seriousness of Zika, despite a string of warning signs.
In the beginning, even the Minister of Health, he said of Zika, you know, Zika is very benign, we shouldn't worry about Zika, we should worry about dengue, dengue is much more serious. But then the outbreak happened in March, April, May in the northeastern states, and 6 months later, the babies with microcephaly started to be born, and that's when people finally realized this is serious.
Well, those images are attention getters. In fact, they've been compared to the picture of the child who died on the beach in Turkey, finally putting a human face on the Syrian refugee crisis. Were these images splashed all over the front pages in the television?
Yeah, and that's a huge discussion going on here in the media. Should we or should we not publish those pictures? I spent a week in Pernambuco, the state that is the most affected, and the photographer who was with me, he took several pictures of babies. We got authorization from the parents to publish the pictures, but this is an ongoing discussion. Are we being sensationalist? At the same time, if you think about the picture of the little boy who drowned, the Syrian boy, it's the same thing. I mean, it took a picture to make people start paying attention. So maybe that's what's happening now, because you have the pictures in the front pages every day.
And then on the other hand, with all of the focus on Zika, it tends to distract governments and health organizations from ongoing crises.
There was this virologist who said, people are paying so much attention to Zika. We still have like hundreds of deaths of dengue virus in Brazil. In 2014, I covered the Ebola virus, and there was this hysteria here in Brazil that the Ebola virus would come here. So people say, instead of paying attention to that, why don't you pay attention to dengue virus, which is actually happening?
There has been some sense that the burden for Zika and its health implications is being placed on women, as you said, to stay indoors and use bug repellent and not get infected, certainly not to get pregnant. But the women most prone to this disease are the poor, who are crowded into slums in Rio and elsewhere. And in rural villages, they have little access to prevention, much less diagnosis or care, much less abortion, which is illegal. Has Folha or other newspapers or television given voice to the women who are most at risk?
Well, we had some stories in the Northeast and in the very poor parts of it. Some of the women who were pregnant and had babies who had microcephaly, the husbands abandoned them. And this was a very, very sad story because they were viewed as, you know, you're to blame because you had a child who has a problem. So we did a story on that, and we also did a story on maternity leave. Here in Brazil, you have mandatory 4-month maternity leave, and the women who had kids with microcephaly were requesting this to be extended. So I think this is something that speaks directly to the needs of the women who are having to bear the brunt of the whole crisis, right? Abortion is also a huge issue right now.
Well, let me ask you about abortion, reproductive rights. Is this crisis changing the discussion of abortion bans in general?
It is. It is changing. Right now, the only way you can get a legal abortion is if your baby doesn't have a brain, or if there's a risk to the mother, or if she was raped. But basically what happens is that if you're rich, you go to a private clinic and you get an abortion. If you're poor, you don't get an abortion, right? As you said, most of the women who are affected by Zika and having babies with microcephaly, they're very poor mothers and they can't get abortion. So some activists are requesting the Supreme Court include Zika as a probable cause to get a legal abortion. But now the Catholic leadership has already said that they strongly oppose this. And even the Minister of Health said, well, we're going to follow strictly the law, and Zika is not one of the factors that allows for legal abortion.
Is there any chance that this question about abortions for women infected by Zika will lead ultimately to a more robust discussion about marginalized women in Brazilian society? I mean, is there potentially a silver lining to this nightmare?
That would be wonderful, although I doubt that would happen. I don't think the country or the politicians are ready to fight for that. The political climate now is really tough. But it's the one chance we have to show that poor women are the ones who are suffering most if they can't access a legal abortion. And the other thing that could be a silver lining is if the government finally realizes that we have to be serious in combating the vector, the mosquitoes, and we need to have more resources to do that. But I'm not that optimistic.
Patricia, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Patricia Campos Melo is an editor-at-large and columnist at FOLA. She spoke to us from Sao Paulo.
Coming up, the line between public health messaging and media panic.
This is On the Media.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.